Buenas tardes. So yesterday was good evening. Buenas noches. Today was good morning. Buenos días. Buenas tardes. So at least you got three phrases in Spanish out of this. Listen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We are so blessed. Juanito and I, you know, yesterday we were talking in the hotel and he was like, Daddy, can we come next Sunday, but bring the whole family? I love this church. I love this congregation, you know, and thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks also for the food. Man, it was fantastic. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'll try my best not to put you at sleep after eating such a great food. So the title for the lesson this afternoon is Thy Will Be Done. And it's, of course, based in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. The Bible says the following. It says, in this manner, therefore pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are to pray, of course, for the person of God, hallowed be thy name. And for the purpose of God, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is the final thy petition which centers on God. But you know, when I was studying this message, it is unfortunately true that uncounted millions have repeated the words, thy will be done, without the finest notion of what God's will is. Perhaps even more alarming is that even more people have repeated these words without any intention of whatever, of seeing to it that the Father's will is done. And that is just the truth. Praying for His will to be done provides the very foundation of our prayers. We are asking that God's will be done in our lives and in the world surrounding us, of course. I suspect that we often get it in reverse and pray as if we expect God to change the universe just to accommodate us. We treat God little better than a genie in a magic lamp sometimes. We make our wish known. We expect God to change the universe to give us what we want. And that's not the case. The petition, thy will be done, is in the aorist tense in the original Greek. And what that means is that it indicates point action. Point action. When we ask, thy will be done, we must be willing to do it right now. Because that's what the will of God is. Notice, we're not asking God to change His will or to bless your or my will. We're asking Him to help us find and do His will in our daily lives. When we pray, thy will be done, we are praying for at least four things. And we're going to discuss it really quick this afternoon. Number one, to discover what God's will is, to understand what God's will is, to submit to His will, and finally, to accomplish God's plan. So at least we are praying for those four things when we say, thy will be done. So number one, to discover what God's will is. In Psalm 119 and verse 18, the Bible says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. So before we can do God's will, we need to know God's will. To pray thy will be done is a commitment to knowing God's will as it is revealed in His Word. Naturally, it follows that if we're going to know the will of God in our everyday affairs, in our daily lives, we're going to have to read the book in which His will has been laid out for us. Number two, to understand what God's will is. And this is sometimes and continues to be very difficult. Actually, we were talking about it when we were eating. Everything that is going on in society and all the bad things that what's going on right now. Do you think that things has gone out of control of the hands of God? Of course not. He has a plan. You know, everything is under His control. He has led some things to happen. He has a purpose. He has a vision. But to understand what God's will is, it's sometimes impossible or very difficult. And there seems to be a lot of confusion over deciding what God's will is when dealing with some practical issues, right? The following are some guidelines that, you know, are going to be able to help us a little bit. For example, is what I am concerned about in agreement with what is expressed in His Word? If so, fine. If not, don't do it. Have faced a similar situation before? If so, what did God say through the Bible to you at the time? If you made a mistake, don't repeat it. If the decision is difficult, well, the Bible says that we need to seek godly counsel. Proverbs 11:14, for example, the Bible says this. Proverbs 11:14, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety, right? The Bible says, you know, when we know people that are wise in God's word, well, we need to ask for counsel. Make the decision a matter of quiet and earnest prayer. The Bible says in James 1:5 the following. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So, kind of going with what we talked about, asking, right? Asking God, please guide me, please help me to understand. Because the what, we already know it, what to do, but how, where to apply it, when to apply it, that's the tricky, right? That's kind of like the tricky thing. But when we pray to God, please help me to discern this, God, He'll help us out. Don't ignore common sense that God has given you, right? Common sense in this society is not that common anymore. We see it, you know, in the news and in everything. But, you know, we as Christians, we need to ask God for guidance. And we need to take our time. Do not make hasty and impatient decisions. God is seldom in a rush about things. Number three, we need to submit to God's will. That is very important. Submit to God's will. Is it enough? It is not enough just to know the will of God. One must then apply it in our daily lives. Thy will be done is, in reality, a prayer of submission. According to Romans 12:2, it is our privilege to submit to that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I love how the Bible puts it this way. That good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The will of God will always be perfect. We might not understand it then. We might say, oh, I don't know about that, but if God says it, we're just going to follow it. We need to trust another thing that we talk about this morning. That good and acceptable and perfect will of God, Romans 12:2. The truth is that the cause of all the unrest, frustration, unhappiness, and sense of powerlessness in the life of a Christian can be traced to trying to follow our own self-will. And that's gonna, you know, we're gonna be frustrated on that. At the back of all our failure is the desire to have my way and not His way. That's just a human nature. Right? We need to rest with that and say, you know what, it's not me, Lord, it's you. Please make your will complete. Complete me in that sense. Thy will be done, Lord. So it's a basis. It's a will that says, God, you take the will. Number four, last one, to accomplish God's plan. And this is very important. Sometimes
Both the outward look and the inward look reveal that the will of God is not being done. And we can see this, I mean, with everything that is going on. You can see, like, the outward look is because the inward look is not according to the will of God. Like I mentioned on Saturday night, we follow God's commandments not because somebody is behind us telling us, you ought to do this, you not to go this place or doing this and that. It's because our own benefit. When we do God's will, it's going to show even on the outside, right? We're going to live peaceful lives. We're going to have love with each other. So it's going to show even on the outside in that sense. Because it is not being done in the Christian, there is no blessing in the church. And because there is no blessing in the church, the world is unreached, untouched, lost for time and eternity. But listen, Paul's prayer for the Colossians believers was that they, Colossians 1, 9 and 10, the prayer, Paul's prayer for the Colossians believer was that they may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So, yes, to fully please God. Yes, to, you know, the Bible says, to be filled with the knowledge of his wisdom. When we do God's will, people will see that we're Christian. Yes, that's wonderful, that's fantastic, that's a way to reach people, right? But at the end of the day, the benefit is going to be for us. And I'm going to put a very simple example. Let's say that I tell my son, Juanito, when you cross the street, you look both ways, right? And to see if there is a car coming. So imagine him or, you know, just going and without looking and going to the other side of the street. He might feel like, well, my dad told me to look in both ways. I've sinned against him. I did something that he told me not to do. But in reality, I told him that for his own benefit in that sense, you know? So that's how we come approach or we come and look at the commandments of God. When we are filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, we're going to work worthy of the Lord. We're going to fully please him. And the Bible says being fruitful in every good work in increasing in the knowledge of God. Comes to my mind when Jesus was here on earth and he healed someone on a Sabbath. And the Pharisees and the scribes were like, how are you doing that on a Sabbath? And Jesus said, well, the Sabbath was made because of you, so you can rest and not be workaholic. That was basically what Jesus said. The Sabbath was made because of you. But the Pharisees in the Old Testament got that commandment and put it in a way, in a sense, that they were judging other people if they were doing just a little tiny thing. So until we don't understand that the commandments of God are for our own benefit, we're going to have a hard time do those commitments, right? So that's why the Bible says that being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So we're going to understand that, you know what? It was because of my own benefit. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you so much for giving me the Bible to follow it. The second part of this petition is that his will be done, the Bible says, on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. If the veil were pulled back for a moment so that we could get a glimpse of how his will is done in heaven, what do you think that we would see? How is his will be done in heaven? Because we understand on earth, okay, we understand that, but in heaven, if the veil, right, was just to see behind the curtain. First, we would see our universe, the moon, the sun, the stars, all moving in perfect, created harmony. Just an amazing thing. I mean, I love the documentaries about space. I, of course, completely ignore when they say billions of years and the Big Bang and that, but just the images and the pictures, wow, it's just an amazing creator that we worship. And what an amazing God we have. First, we would see our universe, the moon, the sun, the stars, all moving in perfect created harmony. A harmony that is the result of moving to the will of God. When our eyes finally rested on the eternal abode of God, we would see in the middle of heaven a throne surrounded by the blood-bought saints of all the ages worshiping the King, Jesus Christ. We would see the angelic host of heaven obeying His every command. We would see the will of God being done without one creature out of harmony. How is the will of God done in heaven? The will of God is done in heaven instantly, constantly, and without failure. What an amazing, amazing thing that is. To deeply recite the Lord's Prayer does nothing, but to pray it sincerely has a revolutionary implication. When we pray it with our heart, believing in that phrase, that will be done. And the will of God will never take you where the grace of God cannot keep you. And that is very important. I'll repeat it again in conclusion. The will of God will never take you where the grace of God cannot keep you. Amen. Where the arms of God cannot support you. Where the riches of God cannot supply your needs. Where the power of God cannot endow you. The will of God will never take you where the Spirit of God cannot work through you. Where the wisdom of God cannot teach you. Where the army of God cannot protect you. Where the hands of God cannot mold you. So, we end up with Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So let's always pray that it will be done, but most importantly, believe it and put it in practice in our daily lives. Thy way, that will be done, Lord. Again, this is the lesson this afternoon. And again, muchas, muchas gracias. Thank you so much for having us. We've been blessed. We thank you for you here in the congregation. We love you. We appreciate you. And thanks again. Let's stand up to sing the invitation song.